We're expecting one thing and maybe another thing happens, or the thing we're expecting to happen doesn't happen when we want it to happen or the way we want it to happen. And so what do we do with that? Someone wisely said, the foundation of gratitude is the expectation of nothing. If you want to be thankful for something, don't expect anything. You know, because once we begin to put expectations on things, then we're setting ourselves up to be let down. I tell people, the number one problem that I see when I counsel married couples, it's not finances like we always hear. It's not sex. It's not all those things. The number one thing that I see when I talk to married couples is the problem is expectations. That there are expectations that have been placed on the partner that haven't been told to the partner, but yet they're being held to it. And so you're just automatically set up to be let down. And so doing that is incredibly dangerous for our thanksgiving and our gratitude. And that's when we put expectations on things. Expectations can rob our joy and damage our relationships. And so today I want us to begin to look at how we can avoid that thief of our thanksgiving. And many of us, if you know, all honest, we're all expecting something right now. We're kind of waiting on something to happen in our lives, whether it's financially, whether it's in a relationship, whether it's in somebody that we care about coming to know Christ, whether it's, you know, that new job that we're waiting, whatever it may be, there's something that you're waiting on. And if you're like me, when those things don't happen, you begin to ask questions. You know, God, why didn't that happen like I wanted it to happen? Why hasn't it happened yet? Why didn't it? And when it does happen, then, you know, why didn't it happen the way that I wanted it to? We begin to ask those questions. And so together, hopefully today we'll be able to get through, how do we deal with those? Because they're legitimate questions. We all ask them. So how do we find the answers to it? So I want us to focus today on really on the waiting part of the things that we're expecting, because we all do it. So if everybody's experiencing it, one of the things is, what do we do in the meantime when we're expecting God to do one thing, yet he doesn't do it right when we want him to? And when we do that, when we're waiting, we often lose that sense of gratitude, that sense of thankfulness. So how do we overcome that? Because listen, you know, there's couples who are they're expecting to be pregnant, and it's not happening. Why isn't it happening? Expecting to see things come in a marriage, expecting to see healing come in a marriage. Expecting to see finances come to a place where you can finally get your head above water. There are people who are waiting on all kinds of things to happen. And so what do we do when we have to wait? What do we do? Here's some things I want you to understand. The first thing is this: with God, a waiting season is never a wasted season. When we're able to trust God in those moments when we're looking for things to happen and they aren't happening the way we want them to, when we want them to happen, then listen, that doesn't have to be a wasted season if we're trusting God in the middle of it. Today we're going to look at one of those seasons of waiting for a particular family in the Bible that we see that it looked really bad. But God did something really amazing in the middle of it to be able to allow him to be glorified in it. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to John chapter 11, and we're going to be looking at a pretty well-known story. If you've kind of grown up around church, you know the story of Lazarus, and we know that he had a couple of sisters named Mary and Martha, and they're kind of interesting. We learn about them another place in the scriptures where Martha is pretty upset with Mary because she's kind of chilling out with Jesus, and Martha kind of gets all worked up because, you know, the dishes aren't being done and the food's not being prepared and the house isn't being dusted and the floor hadn't been swept. And man, it sounds like my house. Anyway, sorry. Just kidding there, honey. Anyway, it's true if you know her. There's a story of Mary and Martha, and Martha's just all worked up over everything not being done the way it needs to be done, and Mary just, you know, is just chilling out and all of that. So we know that these two are pretty interesting ladies, right? And so in John chapter 11, we learn a little bit more about them as they go through a very difficult time and how they respond to what's going on. The point of the story is going to be pretty interesting to see as we have to go through waiting times, how we look at them too and pick ourselves out of it. I want us to see that Jesus came, he was friends with them. He had been to their house. He had eaten their food. He had hung out, put his feet up on their table. He had done all kinds of things. He was like family to them. And, you know, it was kind of like he was in their life group or something. You know, he just was part of it. And they did life together in a lot of different ways. And so these are close people to him. And Mary and Martha's brother Lazarus comes up sick while Jesus is far away. And we learn that they had to wait. And how did they deal with it? In John chapter 11, verse 1, it says, a man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. And verse 3 says then, so the two sisters, because he was sick and Jesus was a friend, they sent a message to Jesus telling him, Lord, your dear friend is very sick. I mean, they're close enough, they don't even name him in it. They just said, your friend. So Jesus would have known who this was and would have instantly wanted to respond to what was going on. They're very close people. And so here's Jesus. He's very close to them, and they are asking, you're telling him something and asking something of him. The inference is, hey, he's sick. You need to come. And you need to come when? Now, because if he's sick, we need you here right now. So Jesus gets this message, and so they wait. And Jesus doesn't show up. And they wait another day. Jesus doesn't show up. They continue to wait, and Jesus he's nowhere to be found. I think a lot of us understand what it's like to say, hey, Jesus, hey, I need this from you. Hey, Jesus, I got this need in my life, and don't you know it? And here's what I need for you to do. But once we tell him and we make it known, nothing changes right away. And we say, well, wait a minute. Jesus, I've been really good. Jesus, I've been doing what you've asked me to do. I've been reading my Bible. I've been praying. I gave money to to the people ringing the bell at Walmart, that's going to start. And do y'all have, could they not give them something like a shaker or something besides the bell? I guess they got to have a bell. But Jesus, I did what you asked. I even went down and I served in the nursery with all those crazy kids. Come on. You know, I didn't want to, but I did it because I thought you were going to do this for me. Come on. I want you to respond to me. I want you to do what I ask you to do. And I know that if we're just all honest in the room, we've all wondered that question. Where are you? I need this to happen. And here's Mary and Martha, and they're wondering where Jesus is. And so today, as we wonder with them and we begin to look at this story, there's a couple of things that I need you to understand about what the waiting season is like and how we can kind of deal with it and how you can begin to see it, not as something that God's not doing for you, but maybe there's something that he wants to do in you and through you. And so I want to give you a couple of things just to do. You may want to write these down. These are, if you've got your program, the outline is there, and you can fill these in. But there's two things to remember when you find yourself like Mary and Martha waiting on Jesus, waiting on God to do something in your life. The first one is this, that God's delays are not necessarily God's denials. That his delays in doing what you want do not mean that he's denying that he's going to do it. We often say, well, you know, we kind of throw up our hands and we get angry, and then we just say, well, he's not going to do it. I'll go do it myself. Right? Anybody with me? Because that's me. I'm going to be the bull in the china shop if he doesn't do it. I'm going to go do it myself. And man, does that mess things up. But God's delays are not necessarily his denials. We need to be able to understand that and kind of wait on him and begin to see. Just because he hasn't answered your prayer when you wanted it answered doesn't mean he's not going to answer it. And so in John chapter 11, verse 4, it says, but when Jesus heard about it, listen to what happened. When he heard about it, he said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. In other words, I know what's going on. And but listen, it's under control. It looks bad, I get it. But you need to hang on, because things aren't as bad as they look. When we see God delaying, that doesn't mean he's denying us what we're asking for. It doesn't mean that it's not going to work out that way. Sometimes we experience that it's a divine delay. It's where God's holding back, just not because he's trying to trick us or whatever, but maybe there's something he wants us to learn in the moment of going through an experience that he can only teach us through going through this difficult time. Maybe there's something that God wants to do in you before he does something for you. Have you ever stopped to just think that maybe there's something he wants to do in you before he does what you want him to do? Maybe there's something you've got to learn. Maybe there's some way that you've got to grow to be able to be who he wants you to be and to be able to be used the way that he wants to use you. His delays don't mean that he's denying. It just means that there's something else that needs to happen. God's done that in me a lot, where he's not answered what I've been praying for, but there's been a period of time where I had to just wait on him, and then I realized that it's not because he's not, you know, not in control. It's not because he's mad at me. It's not because he doesn't like me. Not because I haven't done everything he's asked or whatever, because I can promise you I haven't done everything he asked. None of us have. That's why the Bible says we've all fallen short. But it's because he wants to do something in me, to show me something about me that needs to be more like him. And he's taken me and he's molded me and shaped me in ways that I never thought and that I never would have allowed him to had I not gone through the moment of waiting on him to do. See, I have expectations of God all the time. I expect him to move. He's shown himself to be who he is. I have big expectations of God, quite honestly. I expect big things of him because I've seen him be a big God. But sometimes those expectations just don't get met the way that I thought they would. And certainly not when I thought they would. And so maybe there's something that he needs to do in you before he does something for you. There are ways that he teaches us to believe and to trust him that he could only teach us through those waiting moments of it. Mary and Martha were in this time of waiting and wanting to see something change. Time goes by, Jesus hasn't arrived, and they're certain that he will. See, they expect him to show up because they're friends. Lazarus is really, really, really sick. He's got to be there. You know, Jesus is going to show up any moment. He's going to save the day. He's going to fix Lazarus, and it's going to be good, and it's going to be what we expect, right? But time goes on and their expectation continues to grow. And so finally, Lazarus fights and struggles and takes his last breath and dies. Wait a minute. Didn't Jesus just say he wouldn't die? But he did. What's up with that? They've been waiting on him to show up and he didn't show up and he died. What's the deal? Some of us have been in that place where we've said, wait a minute, I expected God to show up, and I knew he would show up, and he would take care of this. But he didn't. Mary and Martha are now at this place where they're wondering what in the world they've had to carry on, though, because there are things that have to be done. And so they prep the body, and they do all the things that need to be done, and they put Lazarus in the tomb like normal, and there he is. They're still expecting, but their expectations haven't been met. And so what goes on next? John chapter 11, verse 17, when Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in the grave for what? 4 days. 4 days. It's really important that you understand that, because what happens to a body after 4 days? It begins to break down pretty bad, doesn't it? Right? If you just leave a body, even with the things that they would do to prepare it, after 4 days, things start to fall apart. And things start to happen to a body that aren't very normal. Starts to decompose. The NIV says by this time the body had a bad odor. Can you imagine? 4 days, Lazarus was smelling pretty good. In the King James Version, it says that he stinketh. Right? That's the holy version of you smell bad. Right? You stinketh. He was pretty rank at this point. And so here's this body that's been dead, been in the grave for 4 days, and Jesus, who was expected to be there to heal him so none of this ever happened, shows up on the scene. He stinketh. And Jesus is there, and what's he going to do now? Some of you have some issues in your life right now that you're thinking, you know what, that stinks. It smells pretty rotten right now. And I prayed and I asked God to show up to fix it. And why hasn't he fixed it? And what am I to do now? Because it's too far gone. Everything is falling apart. Here it is. It's dead and it's done. And I asked Jesus to come and fix it, and he didn't. Oh, but now he wants to show up. I mean, come on, you know. You've been there. I'm not the only one in the room with that attitude. I know. Because Martha had the same attitude as I would have in that situation. You know, Martha, she's kind of interesting. Verse 11 or verse 20 of chapter 11 says, when Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. Listen, she didn't just wait for Jesus to come. She went out and met him. I think she had an attitude. I think she was pretty upset. She's the extrovert who isn't afraid to tell what she's thinking. You know, Mary, she's the introvert, kind of keeping things in. The scripture says, but Mary stayed in the house. She was kind of sulking or whatever. That just wasn't her to go out there. But here's Martha, man. She comes out to meet Jesus. Verse 21, Martha said to Jesus, I got to believe she had her hand on her hip, a finger in his chest, and was about to let him have what she thought about this whole thing. Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. You see, even with the attitude of being let down, Martha still had some expectation. See, she still had some trust and some faith in it, but her expectations had been let down. She had been disappointed because things didn't happen the way that she wanted to. And so I'm going to tell you today, if you have expectations and you've been let down, that doesn't mean that you have to quit believing. Doesn't mean that you quit trusting. You keep believing in him because he is who he says he is, and he's proven himself over and over and over again. And Martha knew this was who Jesus was. She's like, didn't you get the text? Didn't you know? I mean, this is, you know, you needed to be here when I needed you here. But listen, I'm gonna give you another shot. I know that you can do whatever. But why didn't you do what I asked of you? I love the reality and the honesty of the scripture, because I know what she's thinking and how she's feeling, and so many of you do too. That here's this time where she's trusted and trusted and trusted and knew all she had to do was ask and God would do it. But this time he didn't do what she wanted when she wanted him to do it. And so what do we do? What happens? Does she let her Thanksgiving be stolen? Or does she keep trusting? Some of you are right there with her. So I know today, as you maybe are there and you're praying, you're waiting and you're trusting, you know, you can't just blow him off. You can't just, you know, you can't just forget him. So know that his delays don't have to be, they aren't necessarily denials. Today he may just want you to be more like him in some ways that you need to be, and that's the only way to help you get there. So don't take his delay as a denial. The second thing that we need to understand is this, that if God always met your expectations, he'd never have the opportunity to exceed them. If he was just this spiritual cosmic credit card, you know, or this cosmic vending machine that every time we dropped a request in and that what we wanted rolled out, we'd begin to take him for granted. And quite honestly, some of us already have experienced that. We've done that. We've just assumed he's going to do something, so, and that's why we're mad, because he didn't do it, because, you know, he's just always done it that way. But listen, if he always does what we want, when we want it, one, that kind of changes the whole, you know, him being God and us not. But two, then we never get to have our expectations met or exceeded when he does the things that only he can do. See, it's kind of interesting that in my Bible, when I go to John chapter 11, I've got this, it's in two columns. And so the story of Lazarus begins right here, about a third of the way down on the column on the left. And it's kind of interesting that as you read through there and you begin to go from one column, you go to the second column, and then you begin to read it, that you don't see very much hope. So on page 896, about middle ways of this page, it's kind of hope is lost. Because Lazarus is dead. The thing that they've been asking for, it hadn't happened, and there's no hope now that he's dead. It's kind of interesting that you kind of go through that. But here's kind of something interesting, because Jesus said what? That it wouldn't end in death, right? But he's dead, so how do we reconcile all of that? Well, look at what he says in verse 23. Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." "Yes," Martha said, "he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day." Martha says, "Yeah, listen, I get that. He's going to rise up like everybody else, because that's what the scriptures, you know, what we've been taught, what we've learned. So, yeah, that's going to happen." And Jesus is like, whoa, wait a minute. Now, you need to understand, I'm not talking about that day. I'm talking about this day. Verse 25, Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never ever die." And he looks at her, he says, "Do you believe this, Martha?" See, he was helping Martha understand that the resurrection wasn't an event. The resurrection was a person. And it's Jesus that when we trust and believe in him, that when we put our faith in him and become a follower of him, that we can be forgiven of our sins, but then also we become a child of him and we can live forever in the presence of God. That eternal life isn't found in some event that happens, it's found in a person of Jesus Christ. And he's saying, listen, the thing that you've been wanting to happen, it's about to happen, but it's going to happen in a whole different way. And it's not going to happen so that you get satisfied. It's not going to happen so that you feel better. It's not going to happen just because of who you are. It's going to happen because of who I am, because the glory will come to me. And he helps them understand that the waiting that they've had to go through and the delay that they experienced wasn't a denial, but that now it's something that he's going to do, because he's going to not only meet their expectation, he's going to exceed their expectation. And it's because he had to do it the way that he needed to do it. If God always met our expectations, if he ever always did everything we wanted him to do when we wanted him to do it, listen, he'd never have an opportunity to show himself as God. We would totally look at him in a different way. So the resurrection is in him. And so he says, listen, this thing is about to get interesting. He says, for some of us, we're looking for him to do something in our lives to meet that need that we have. And yet he says, listen, I want to meet it, but I want to show you that it's me meeting it. I want you to know that I'm the one that's doing it. Jesus looks at him, and he's standing outside the tomb. And he says, roll the stone away. Like, open this thing up for me. And in verse 43, it says, then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. Shouted, Lazarus, come out. Why do you think he shouted? Because dude had been dead for 4 days. He was having trouble hearing, right? I thought that was going to be something really spiritual, didn't you? But Jesus got their attention because his voice commanded life, and it happened. Verse 44, and the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth, and Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. Do you know that's what Jesus does with the stuff in our lives? When you find yourself asking him to do something for you, and that's something that he wants to do in your life, and though you've had to wait and you've had to go through some difficult things to get there, Jesus can call out and say, come out. And he can, the things can come off, and the freedom can be found because you are able to go through it and wait on him to see him move. Though your expectations maybe weren't met the way you wanted them to be, but Jesus met them the way they needed to be made. The way that you needed to see it happen. So that you could trust him more and believe him more and be shaped into who he wanted you to be. See, if Jesus had shown up and just healed Lazarus, I don't know that it even made it in the book. I mean, he was, you know, at the time, he was over healing Roman soldiers rather than showing up to heal Lazarus. You know, that kind of had to bother him a little bit too. But he shows up supposedly too late. But guess what? He was right on time. He was on his time. And because he showed up when he needed to show up, people saw him for who he was. People's faith was strengthened. And you and I can now look back and see the story and know that though things look terrible in our lives, that Jesus is still able to bring life to whatever it is. So I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know what you're waiting on. I don't know what expectations of yours aren't being met at the moment. But let me just tell you that I know the God that can meet them and exceed them. And he's done it over and over and over again in my life. And I've seen him do it in your lives. See, I see couples sitting together today that a couple of years ago wouldn't have been together had God not moved in their lives. I see people who are here today because normally 2 years ago, 3 years ago, they wouldn't even been here. But it's because God moved in their life and somebody probably had given up praying for him because it had taken so long. But it happened on time. Some of you are here today physically. You prayed and wanted God to do something in your life to heal you. He didn't heal you when you thought he would. And maybe he hadn't even healed you yet. But he's taught you a lot about him, and he's taught you a lot about you, and he's helped you help a lot of other people because you went through what you went through. Some of you are facing stuff that I don't know that I could even make it through myself. But you've trusted, and you've believed, and you've seen him move before, and so you're going to continue to trust him that he's going to move again. Listen, our expectations when we build them up and we just let them go, they can steal our Thanksgiving so much. But when we allow God to take our expectations and begin to see that just because he doesn't meet them doesn't mean that he's not going to eventually exceed them, that we can be thankful for what he's already done. See, we become so expectant of God that we totally miss out on what he's already done. We forget all the things that he's brought us through, all the things he's healed us of, all the relationships he's brought together. But today I want to encourage you that he still meets and exceeds needs. He still does far more than we could ever imagine when we trust him and let him be who he is. And that's God. See, here's the thing. Some of you are still on page 896. Because see, what I didn't tell you was that on 896, we find out that there's no hope. But when I get over to page 897, I begin to read, there's hope. And then when I get right here and I see him call out, Lazarus, come out. Man, there's the ultimate meeting of a need. And so I know that if he can meet Lazarus' need from the tomb, that he can meet my need right where I'm at. And so some of you are stuck on 896. But I'm telling you, on 897, there is hope. And there's an answer. And you got to be willing to go through 896 to get to 897. And allow God to do something amazing in your life. Do not let your expectations of what you want God to do and when you want it to do it, don't let it keep you from being thankful for what he did on 895. You with me? Because he's done a lot. And he'll continue to do a lot. And it's going to feel terrible. It's going to be rough. You're going to go through things that you never thought you could go through on your own. The cool thing is you're not on your own. You got him. And you got us. And when family comes together, listen, when family is what family is supposed to be, then it does what family is supposed to do. And we make it through these things together with him at the head. And we trust him together. He may not meet your need when you want it met. He may not meet it in the way that you want it met. But I promise you, he'll meet it in a way that will greatly exceed your expectations if you'll continue to trust. But don't let the expectation that isn't met and not met the way you want, don't let it take your Thanksgiving. Because whether he never does another thing for any of us, he's done more than we all deserve. And so today, if you don't know him, let me tell you how he did more than we all deserve. He sent his son Jesus to come and live here on earth as a perfect example for us to live by. Jesus came and he lived that life, but he didn't just come to show us how to live. Unfortunately, he came to die. He came to die on a cross to pay the price for your sin and for my sin. We can do it on our own. We couldn't pay the price on our own, so he came to do it for us. He died on a cross, paying the price for our sins with his blood. He was taken off the cross. He was put into a borrowed tomb, and on the third day, though, God, in all of his love and power, raised him from the dead. And so because of what Jesus did by giving his life for us, you and I can be forgiven of our sin. But not just forgiven today, but we can be forgiven for all eternity in a relationship with God because of what he did for us. And so today we all have that opportunity. See, it's not just he did it and so we all get it. The Bible says that as we confess that, with our mouth, as we confess that Jesus is Lord, that we become saved. So we confess our sins, we acknowledge that we're a sinner, that we all fall short, that Jesus came and he died on the cross for our sins, that he was put into the tomb and raised again on the third day. When you trust and believe and put your faith in that, the Bible says that you're saved, that you become a new creation. You know what happens when we become new creations? Our expectations become different as well. Because now we have a whole different relationship and perspective to look at it from. And so today, maybe that's where you are. Maybe that's the relationship that you need. You can do that today, right where you're at right now. You can make a decision to accept that. Maybe today you've accepted it, but you've been struggling with where your expectations are. Then today is a day where you can come say, you know what? I'm sorry, God, that I've expected things of you and held you and been mad at you because you just didn't meet them the way that I wanted you to. And so I just want you to forgive me today of that. Maybe today you just, maybe there's somebody just needs to be prayed with and prayed over. And maybe there is an expectation that you have and you're just waiting. And so you're willing to say, hey, I'll take it as not a denial, and I'll take it as, hey, God, you want to meet and exceed that. But today I'm just going to come and I'm going to pray for you to just work in me while I wait. Wherever you fall in that, and whatever your need is today, let's pray together. God, we love you today. God, it's so easy for us to be ungrateful for what you've done while we wait on you to do whatever it is that we need next. God, it's so easy to put such great expectations on you and then to hold you so accountable to those, to do it the way we want, when we want. So God, today I pray that anyone that maybe is just holding you to those expectations too tightly, that today they would just acknowledge it. God, be willing to learn from it, to let you work in them and shape them and make them into the person that you want them to be. God, I wish I could go around the room and tell everybody why it is that they've waited and what it is that they need to learn and what it is to grow. But God, that's not my place. That's yours. And so God, I just pray for a room full of people who are willing to listen, to hear whatever you have to say to us. So in this room right now, God, for those that need to hear of your salvation and need to accept it, then I pray that would be what they would do now. For those that need to just repent of not doing what you want them to do in the middle of waiting, then God, I pray that they'd be willing to just confess that. For those that need to come and just pray and ask you to teach them and show them in the midst of this waiting and how to have the right expectations of you in this moment, then God, I pray that they'll be willing to do it. God, whatever you need to do in our lives today, I pray that you'll just move with freedom and with power today, God. That we'll leave here today more of who it is that you want us to be. Not just more of the same as we've had, but more of you, God. So move in us. Move in this place, God. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.